there's our music, which means it's time to start the Aging Well Together show. So excited to have our second show of 2025. Alicia's going to be here in a few moments, and we need to celebrate. We are now Medicare eligible at the show because this is our 65th show. Yay, we just turned 65 here at the Aging Well Together show. So we are aging together, and that's just tickled me when I was looking at that earlier today. We have a very special and exciting show today. We're joined by Jacques Menache. I am so excited. I keep saying that. He is the founder of both the Art Center and our own WCOM station. We have so much history to get into, both about his fascinating upbringing and career, and as a leader of our Carrboro community, and the past and present and future of our WCOM station. I am so excited. Poor Jacques came thinking he was just going to talk about the station. I'm like, no, we have the whole show. We want to get all into your background and experiences and motivations. But as always, before we dive into our show, I want to give a shout out, Jacques, to your home and mine, WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carrboro, for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. You can catch us every Thursday from 2 to 3 on 103.5 FM or stream us live through WCOMFM.org. And here's Alicia. I just gave you a shout out that Alicia was rushing. You all know my wonderful co-host, Alicia Reed, who is always rushing right in here because she's one of the phenomenal instructors over at the Orange County Department on Aging, besides being just a tremendous volunteer in our community and the host of the show right after ours, Afternoon Talk with Alicia. Hi, Alicia.
You're not supposed to tell that story about me rushing in.
I know. Here's the issue.
Hey, Jacques.
Well, because I had a celebration, and I said, we're having a celebration today. And I was like, oh, I can't wait for Alicia to come in. Guess how old we are today?
How old? 65.
We are 65. We're Medicare eligible today.
That makes it me.
I know. This show, Yay. You and the show Yay. Are rocking 65. Thank Yay. You, friend.
We are eligible.
I know. All right. So let's get back to our fun introduction. But Alicia is here. Jacques is here. We're here at WCOM. And as always, this show would not be coming to you if it wasn't for our phenomenal friends, the super helpful team at Orange County Department on Aging. Besides being our wonderful sponsors and expert guests on our shows, they come many times and they'll be coming soon in our 2025 season. The team also posts our previous shows on Orange County's website. So if you want to catch up on any of our past 64 shows, 64. Well, after in the next 24 to 48 hours, then we'll be 65 shows. You can find It Makes Our Cool podcast. You can find on the Orange County website. And on the Orange County Department on Aging's website, you can also find a host of a tremendous amount, host of other community resources all around our county aging services. And so this is where you get out a pen and paper. Mm-hmm. The website for Orange County is orangecountync.gov/aging, www.orangecountync.gov/aging. Remember, you have to put that NC or you're going to learn all about the resources of Orange County, California. Or Orange County, Florida, but normally we end up in California. If you do have any questions about local aging resources, you can also call the Orange County Department on Aging, and their number is 919-968-2070. Or if you have any questions about our shows or you want to suggest a topic, and Alicia, we're now booking through, we're now March is all set. We got January, February, March. We have a really great. We are all the way into April now. April. Like, we are mostly through booking March. That I'm telling you, cool. People are excited to come on the show. And we have lots of returning guests also. So Jacques, this will be the first of many appearances on the That's Aging right. Well Together show. But you are, feel free to email me at all one long word, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. I heard that's a very Gen X and baby boomers thing to repeat. I just thought that was good etiquette. When you do a number or you do an email or you leave it. And apparently, like, I got mocked for that, but not on the radio show, by younger people. No, Gen Z's. Yeah, my teenagers who are not teenagers much longer. All right. We want to get into our show. As always, you heard a little bit of music when we started, so we love to give a gratitude out to the Robert Bradford Quartet, our own Carrboro-based band, for allowing us to use their original music. You'll hear a lot more at the end of the show. I've already welcomed Alicia. And now, lastly, for me, you know about me. Hopefully, I'm Heather Altman. I've spent over 25 years working in aging resources and services and supports. I help older adults and their families connect with resources in our community. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and at 54, I am super invested in how we are all aging well together. All right, I have one more thing to do, and Jacques will not mind because he wants me to do this, even though he's not sure what I'm doing right now. I'm getting a piece of paper because we need to invite you all. I know some of you are, if you're listening to a past recording, you can ignore the next 20 seconds. But those of you who are actually listening to us on January 9th, which is today's date, I think, we have an amazing benefit, an event, an activity this weekend. It's a benefit for our own WCOM, FM, LP, our all-volunteer community radio station celebrating 20 years on the air. We've got an event this Sunday, January 12th. Doors open at 2 o'clock, 2:30 is the showtime, and we've got the Will McBride Group with Sound of Scarlet and Andrew Kassab. Am I pronouncing that right? Yeah. All right, Kassab. Wonderful musicians. It's going to be right next door at Cats. Well, right two doors down, because right next door is my favorite Amante's Pizza, because Alicia knows. Jacques doesn't know. Listeners, I'll share at the end of every show. Every single show.
65 times. Oops. Uh-huh. 64.
Yeah. I go into Amante's Pizza and I get a Coke and a pizza, and I then come back and do the editing of the show, and it is part of my routine, which is when we move studios, I'm going to need to still come here at the end.
That's right.
So right next door is Amante's Pizza, but a few doors down is Cat's Cradle in the back room at 300 East Main Street. Please, please, please come. There's a suggested donation of $15, but I'll suggest you can give a lot more than that, because WCOM is dedicated to the education, entertainment, and inspiration of the diverse communities of Carrboro, Chapel Hill, Orange County, and beyond. And we really want to support our station, especially with our upcoming move, which Jacques is going to tell us all about. So much gratitude to the artists and to Cat's Cradle for their support of WCOM. So hopefully, we have no idea what the weather is going to be like Sunday. It's supposed to be a little chilly and maybe snowy. Mm. We don't have a weather forecast part of the show, but it's supposed to be a little complicated on Friday and Saturday. But hopefully Sunday, it doesn't get in the way for you all to come join us. All right. Now, for our great guest this week.
Where's our...
Oh, I still haven't ordered our sound machine.
We got to get a sound machine.
I am honored. If he was paying me, he'd be my boss. I am so excited to have Jacques Menache here. I cannot do justice to this eclectic, artistic, and all the leadership range that is Jacques Menache. So I'm simply going to say, welcome, Jacques.
And let him tell us, huh?
I know.
Hey.
Hey,
Jacques. Hey. Welcome.
Alicia, nice to see you. And Heather, thank you so much for having me here today. It's such an honor. And I admire your show, and I admire you very much.
Oh, well, there's so much we want to get into, but yeah, I know. And get the microphone to you. Get on. Funny, we normally give a whole like orientation process to new folks, but I was like, Jacques gives orientations to me, but I was like, make yourself comfortable, put the microphone, sit back. We're all cuddling up here in our very chilly studio. But before we get into WCOM, before we get into the Art Center, before we even get into Carrboro, tell us about you. I know enough to kind of push you along if I need to, but tell us where you're from and all about your journey. Oh. This is your own therapy here. Welcome.
Well, I was born in Paris, France, in 1948.
Wow.
And at the age of 8, my parents decided to take off and move to Mexico City. And so I moved to Mexico City. I turned 8 on the boat. I took a boat named L'Île de France.
L'Île de France.
It's the ship that's pictured on the Île de France cheese boxes.
Is it really?
Buy that cheese.
Oh my goodness, you look at it differently.
Let's do a shout out. We'd love to have the sponsorship of Harris Teeter or Food Lion or Fresh Market or Wegmans. Yeah. When you go and get the cheese, think now of Jacques Minaj. Okay,
that's
go
right.
on.
That's right.
That ship was so beautifully upfitted at the time, and it was an example of Art Deco. My sister and I were sent ahead of my parents because they were selling their business and wrapping things up. And so we traveled and we had the run of the ship.
Wait, I'm already interrupting.
Yeah.
How old was your sister? Because if you're 8...
She was 9.
The two of you went alone?
No, we had an uncle that
came with us. Thank you. I was like, whoa.
It's a long story.
Okay, sorry, go on.
Because I was turning 8 on the ship, I got to sit at the captain's table, and that was so exciting.
Oh, all right, so.
So we moved to Mexico City. I'm 8 years old, and. They have in Mexico a very large French colony from way back.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a Liceo Franco-Mexicano, a French-Mexican high school. And that's where I studied. And I had to learn Spanish and things like that. So I was a little bit disoriented, but it was a fun thing to do. And I continued my studies, my high school studies in French. And after that, I went to my parents so much wanted me to be a doctor or an engineer or something like the classic.
Classic.
And I ended up going to engineering school for maybe a year and a half, and I hated that.
Don't tell my daughter. She's not listening who's in engineering school right now.
First year?
Yeah. Sydney, yeah. All right, go on.
Yeah, my son went to engineering school, too. So. But anyway, so I left home, and I went to art school. And in Mexico City, it was very exciting. Art was a very big scene there, and I went to Academia San Carlos, where all the big artists had studied in Mexico City. And I was so lucky to be an apprentice to the great muralist Siqueiros and to climb scaffolds and learn how to do stuff like that.
I knew a little bit about this because I stalk our guests, so I read a little bit about this. So I knew that, first of all, that jump from... We're just skipping over from engineering to art, but this I knew there was this big creative space, but that's, and your parents allowed it, clearly.
Well,
they had no choice.
I left.
Oh, okay.
I left home. I was 16 by then, and I.
Okay, so clearly you allowed it. Go on.
I lived at the art school, and so. In 1960, we'll skip some things, but in 1968, it was the Olympics in Mexico City, and it's famous and infamous.
Yep.
It's famous because the students decided to protest at the time in 1968, and the president, Díaz Ordaz, then decided that he wasn't going to have any of that. He wanted to have his Olympics, and he sent the helicopters to shoot at us in the Plaza Tlatelolco. And if you're interested, you can always go to Netflix and watch this thing.
Oh, really? I read this about you, so I knew this. I knew this story was coming. Again, eclectic and amazing experience, but I didn't realize there's a Netflix show on this. I have to watch a documentary.
Yeah, a documentary.
Right. What's it called?
There's
a lot of
the Night of Tlatelolco, I think it's
okay.
called.
Okay, all right, thank you. Sorry, we're gonna. This is
something,
where
something like that.
And I
but
start
many of my friends and fellow students were either jailed or shot at, and I was just lucky to have a dark room, a photography dark room in the on site, and I ran and hid under a desk or something. I can't remember exactly what I did, but I escaped. And it wasn't funny.
No.
At all.
No.
And it gave me a bad taste about Mexico. But anyway, I got to meet a young woman. Her name was Amy Abernethy and is Amy Abernethy. And she happened to be from Chapel Hill. And she and I fell in love. She was 17 and I was 19. Oh. And her parents were prominent citizens of Chapel Hill. Her dad had started the intimate bookshop in Carborough, in Chapel Hill.
Oh, wow.
At the time. And when I met them, they talked to me about this famous writers and intellectuals that were hanging out here, Langston Hughes and Upton Sinclair and William Faulkner, people like that. Hemingway even came through.
Oh, I did not know about any of that.
And so I said to myself, I gotta go to Chapel Hill. This is like the mecca of intellectualism. Mm-hmm. I gotta go. And
Alicia, we're the mecca of intellectualism. I did not realize.
That's
okay,
a good
go on.
Day. I like that.
But I mean, it was also a big socialist center in Chapel Hill, and,
mm-hmm.
and so all the communists were hanging out and having parties and fundraisers and what have you. But it also was the McCarthy era in 1955,
mm-hmm.
and everybody was kind of scrambling around. And so when I got here in 1969,
mm-hmm.
there was nothing left.
There
was still the university, and the place was growing, and it was very interesting. But I came from Mexico City, and my studies, my diplomas didn't translate, and I had to start college all over again. I went to NC Central, and mm-hmm. I did college quickly, and in 3 years.
Great.
Central was a great place, by the way, and mm-hmm. I got to meet some great artists. And I was one of the first white students to integrate
mm-hmm.
Central. And I met a man there. He was a sculptor. His name was Robert F. Kennedy, but he was a sculptor. He was a white sculptor.
Okay.
He actually had studied in Mexico also, and so we had a lot of
is this the
friends,
Robert F. Kennedy, as in, is it the same? Okay, no. Is it the same Kennedy? Like,
no.
Okay, I didn't know him.
Not related.
Okay,
not
sorry.
Related.
Sorry,
he
excuse
been
my
in
ignorance
the,
there.
He had been in the submarines during the war, and he had studied at Detroit, Michigan. He
mm-hmm.
had studied design, and he got to become a professor of art. And that's where I met him, and he taught me sculpture, and he told me how to smoke cigars and play chess. Anyway,
okay, I don't know how to do any of those three things. Go on.
Anyway, at some point, the chairman of the Department of Art at UNC came to recruit me. He was looking for artists, and he liked what I was doing, and he said, come and do graduate school at UNC. And I said, okay. So that's what I did. I went to graduate school at UNC, and I graduated in 1973.
Mm-hmm.
And looked for a job everywhere and couldn't mm-hmm. find anything.
Yeah, okay. What kind of job? Were you looking to be an art instructor? Were you looking to be an artist? Like, what? It's an interesting, my daughter's in art history and is looking at, you know, museum studies, but I was trying to think, what kind of jobs were you looking for? But
yeah, my best hope would have been to be an art instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a couple of offers, one in Alfred, New York, and I had no idea, but I thought it was going to be very cold, and I didn't want to move there.
Good call.
That was a good reason.
Probably, yeah. We're going to think that's probably true.
And so I decided I would start my own art school,
mm-hmm.
and rented a little space above Armadillo Grill,
mm-hmm.
down the street here, and put an ad in the local newspaper, the Village Advocate, and I advertised.
You remember that?
I do remember that. Yes.
That newspaper.
classes in drawing and painting. I was going to teach, and I rented this little room that was, it was kind of cool. It had wooden floors and tall ceilings, and so started teaching, and I enrolled 17 students.
Oh, that's impressive.
I had built my own easels and little wood horses and drawing boards, and it snowballed. I was in that same room. All of a sudden, somebody said, "Oh, the floors look great. Let's refinish them and have some dance classes." And so okay, and then I got to borrow some folding chairs from the community church, and we had some concerts. And it was a time when old-timey music was popular, and everybody wanted to go to the mountains to learn banjo and fiddle from from this wonderful artist from the type of music that was called old-timey at the time.
It was even called old-timey then?
Yes.
I was like, wow. And then does it get into the dancing, like the folk dancing and the cloggers? And
definitely, definitely. And also, there were some people wanting to do theater. Now, theater is one of those things that propelled the art school. It was called Art School. It became the Art Center later.
I was going to say, this is the birth of the Art Center. And, you know, that was, I'm doing some easy math here. Last year was the 50th anniversary.
It was?
I didn't realize. Yeah, because we're set 1973, 2023, and now you're in my kind of numbers, you know, because I was born in the 70s. Right. That was 51 years ago now. That was, we just celebrated.
Yeah, they actually started in 74.
Oh, okay, then now this is the 50th year of the Art Center. There we go.
Yeah, and they just were so gracious in honoring me at the Art Center, and it's been great fun to participate in the celebration and to see how they've evolved.
So all of a sudden it just, like, organically kept growing. I love that it went from art to music to dance and then to theater.
Yeah, there were other things happening. In that same little room above Armadillo Grill, there was a little office, and I cut a hole in the door, and I put a projector, a 16-millimeter projector, and a screen in the big room, and started showing movies.
Oh my gosh.
Like Marlon Brando on the waterfront and things like that. And there were lines around the block to see several shows of the same movies. And we started also showing unusual animations and dance movies and different things. And a mime group decided to join us.
Mime group, awesome.
They were called Touch Mime Theater, and they rehearsed in that same dance studio with the wooden floors. And artists wanted to show their work, and so we started the gallery. And then we called it the Gallery Theater in that same room, and I kept hauling folding chairs back and forth to the community church.
Oh, my God. Oh, because you borrowed it. You literally had to borrow it and go back and forth. And so was this all, were you starting to get more and more, it sounds like, paying customers? Like, this really took off because you were looking for work also. And
so it went from the 17 students to 300 students.
Oh, wow.
I rented all the space that was available in the next buildings around, and we even had a little art supply store, and I built stretchers for paintings to make a living a little
more. See, you still used your engineering skills. There you go.
There you go.
Oh my gosh!
I also brought an old timey mimeograph press and printed on. Posters and
I'm making listeners. I'm making. churning. Yeah. Things.
Yeah. Yeah, you had to put the ink in the rollers. And
I'm having so much nostalgia here. Like, I wish I was here then. That sounds like awesome, all of it. But then the awesomeness continued because you just kept growing and growing, because I know you started moving spaces.
Exactly. So I was looking at the window, out the window across the street to Carmel, and Carmel was abandoned. Essentially, there was nobody. They were storing bicycles in there from the store downstairs, and there were crazy birds flying around there. The machinery was still around. It was a fantastic space, but ghostly. And I found out who owned the car mill, because I thought maybe we could move in there and it would be a growing experience. And it was a man named Mr. Yagi, Ed Yagi, who was an old-timer here also. And it turns out he was very interested in pre-Columbian art from Mexico. Ah. And I happened to have little pre-Columbian art. And I
There's
went
a little
to,
bartering and trading about to happen.
Yeah,
here,
I went to see him, and I brought him some figurines, and he was very appreciative. And I told him about how wonderful it would be to move into the warehouse part of Carmel, where the restaurant is now, the
Venable,
and where the bookstore.
I love Carmel.
Fig Leaf. So he said, "Yeah, I'll rent it to you for $1.50 a square foot." Ugh. And I said, "Well, that sounds reasonable. Let me have it."
Let's still get that rate.
So,
and that, what a smart use of what was a somewhat abandoned building. And you've got this collective of artists of all different types just growing and growing. Mm-hmm. And I saw that it moved. How long were you in the Carmel space?
We were in there from 1979 until 1986.
That's right. In my stalking, I saw that.
And then what happened is that there was a movement, Save the Old Mill concept. And this man, Braxton Fushi, was on the board of the town of Carrboro. And he was instrumental in saving the old mill and having the town push for that. And so it developed simultaneously. They started renovating. And also, at the time, the warehouse had nothing. I raised the first $10,000 to try to move in there, and all I could bring was the electricity to the outside wall. But we had a wood stove, and that was the heat inside the warehouse, and we started doing more theater. And the university didn't have an outlet at the time where their instructors in theater and their students could perform outside the regular curriculum or outside the playmakers and all that stuff. There was no other space, and so they jumped on the opportunity to direct and to act and to teach.
I'm sure.
And it was a wonderful relationship, town and gown.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. We're going to have other show. It is amazing, the really positive. I'm sure there's complexity there, but I'm in other town gown environments, even in the state, and it's not as a cohesive connection as you see here. And so, especially with the community members supporting students in that way. Okay, go on. So now
we're producing theater, and we're raising funds, and we create the first board of directors, and they all want to help to raise the funds necessary to continue. And we build a dance floor, and we build a stage, and now we're having concerts. We have a wonderful movie boot. Not the little hole in the door.
In the door.
Yes.
Yeah, but and we're starting to show movies for children and adults, and there even was an erotic film festival that was so controversial.
I'm sure it was. Well, try to do that today. Gosh.
Yeah, and a lot of dancing happened, and we had a real dark room with photography programs and classrooms to teach. And I started teaching there, but pretty soon I was too busy doing administrative work and all that. And we had grown to 700 students, and there were many more instructors than we ever had.
This is great.
Wow.
And I started thinking about building co-ops, a poetry co-op, a writer's co-op, and an actor's co-op. And this is the people were there, the artists were there, and the audiences were there.
It feels very Parisian at this point. You know, bring all these artistic folks together. And I'm also thinking like whiskey and cigars or other things. But this is the fact that you started out in Paris. This feels like you were creating this as you, this co-op, this collective. Sorry,
no,
keep
no,
going with
you,
the evolution.
You're right
I'm
about
just
that.
So into just picturing all of this.
Yeah. It was also in Mexico City, there were a lot of Latin American cultural centers.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my upbringing was about this cultural center idea, mm-hmm. where they would teach and perform multi-disciplines.
And so at some point you outgrew across the street, because I'm literally looking at Carmel Mall right now, so you outgrew it.
Well, the old man, Yagi, died, and the family sold to a dentist from California. And they wanted me out of there so badly, they couldn't stand the $1.50 square foot idea.
I'm sure not, yep.
And so they were threatening me to evict and certainly not to renew the lease. And so I was walking around and walked right here and saw that the Piggly Wiggly was packing up. Mm-hmm. That was the supermarket at the time because Harris Teeters was being developed in Carmel. And so I found out who owned the Piggly Wiggly, and it was a Mr. Mac Bird from Bird Foods chain, who also owned the Piggly Wigglies, and I went to see him in his office in Burlington. And I said, "Mr. Bird, I'm very interested in renting the Piggly Wiggly because we have to move the art center." And he said, "Sure, no problem." And I said, "How much is it?" He said, $1.50 a square foot.
No way. my gosh.
And I said, "Okay, where do I sign?" And when I left his office, just as I'm leaving, he's saying, "Hey, by the way, we're also moving out of the shopping center. Are you interested in buying the shopping center by any chance?" And I said, "I don't know. How much is it?" And he said, $600,000. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Where do I sign?"
So this entire shopping center?
The whole shopping center, and it had...
Oh, my God. Wow. I didn't know any. I am fascinated. Sorry, my mic is off.
It had a laundromat and the front cleaners,
mm-hmm.
and it had a little manufacturing of computer chips and things like that. So mm-hmm. there were some rents that would support the...
And this is now, what, 1986?
It's 1986,
okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right, so you get this amazing deal, and then you come over to where we are literally now, and this becomes the art center as we have known it up until about a year ago.
Right. Well, I came back from Burlington, and I told the board of directors, "Look, this is it. First of all, we can lease the space for the same that mm-hmm. we've been paying, but we should buy it because where else are we going to find a place like that?"
Yeah, own your own destiny here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they said, "Absolutely not."
Oh,
the,
no.
The board of directors was involved with the YMCA, a lot of them, the board members, and they had defaulted on their loan.
Yeah, it's still a big chunk of change. I mean, $600,000 still was a lot of money. And so the intensity of buying and owning and maintaining. Oh, so you never did buy it.
Well,
that story got us all excited. We're like, literally.
Well, I told the board, "Look, if you guys don't do it, I'm going to do it."
Oh, okay. Good.
And I put together a partnership called Main Street Partners.
Ah, mm-hmm. Okay. That's
and
where.
It was an architect, Lucy Davis, and her husband-to-be, Dan Fred Emerson, and a very good friend of mine, Sherman Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
And we got together in a restaurant in Carmel. It was Aurora's at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we did some back-of-the-envelope calculations, and we said, "Oh, this is easy. The rents pay for the mortgage.
Sure.
Let's borrow the money." Of course, I had no credit. I had no anything to do, but they did. And so
here's some sculptures from Mexico City.
So we did it. We formed Main Street Partners, and we bought the shopping center, and they agreed to lease it to the art center for $1.50 a square foot for 15 years. It's a ground lease, and so we could do whatever we wanted with the building. So that was the end of my real estate venture.
I
went out and I raised $1 million to renovate this building, and had a lot of fun doing that. And it was very successful. We had so many more students and opportunities to do bigger things. And so this was now 1988, and there was a man from Florida who came, and he was very impressed with the facilities. His wife was a dancer, and he said, I want to be involved. I want to help you raise funds. I want to do all of this stuff. And I said, okay. And then he said, well, introduce me to the board of directors. And I did. And they fell in love with him. And before I knew it, he was having meetings behind my back. And he was cooking up a way to take over. And he said, Main Street Partners is not a good place. They don't own the shopping center. The art center owns it, and they should have never gotten involved. And there's a conflict of interest. And it was a time.
Like,
it was a time in the
awkward. I don't care for this. Go on.
it was a time when public-private partnership was having a bad rap. Things were falling apart about that whole thing. And so it was an annual board meeting in the auditorium, and he says, we're going to give Jacques a leave of absence, and we're going to bring in the lawyers, and we're going to do all of this stuff.
Wow.
Okay,
that must have hit the heart somewhere.
It hurts me so bad because, A, I had made no money at all whatsoever. I was making $20,000 a year.
Oh, my goodness.
I had no idea that this was going to be an issue coming at me. And I stood up and I said, look, if you guys don't trust me, I'm going to resign right now. I'm walking out. And I walked out.
Oh.
Jacques,
I'm so sorry. I didn't know about this.
I didn't see this coming. I know.
I was joking. We were just about to do personal therapy coming on here. But the story's got some twists and turns.
The chairman of the board at the time was Joel Carter, Chris Carter's dad. And he was a wonderful person. And he ran behind me and he says, you crazy Frenchman, come back. You can't do this and all that. And I said, Joe, what would you do if there was such a vote of no confidence?
It was like a coup.
Wow.
Exactly. And he said, I would resign also probably. And so I left and I became an electrician. I knew
at some point in the story I was going to ask about you, and then you became an electrician. Tell us, that's when I thought you became an electrician earlier on when you had to do the electrical work in Carmel. So you decided to take a little leave of absence from artistic endeavors.
Yeah.
That must have hurt. I mean, you couldn't go away.
It was worse than a divorce, really.
Right.
It took
some mending. To walk away from something
well,
that you built up.
Literally built this. So why electrician?
And then you walk away, though. I'm still stuck on the fact someone comes in after you've built this empire.
Netflix on my mind. This has become its own like Netflix drama right now here that's going
on. Well, this guy went to Winston-Salem and did the same thing with the School of the Arts, and the person there
just kind of came in and blew it up.
Resigned and all of that stuff.
How long did you go dark, I call it, when you became an electrician? How long did you go?
No, there was no interruption.
Interruption?
Well, no, there were people that were wanting to
The Art Center continued. It's just your relationship.
It was my relationship.
Severed.
Yeah, I went underground. Became an electrician, made more money than I ever made, and didn't have to worry anymore about raising funds and doing all of that stuff. And I still kept painting and doing my artwork and all of that stuff, but I was hurt.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I could see.
And I saw in this piece that I read about you, and then it said, And then you went underground, and I didn't know what that meant. But now I caught that. You needed to take a break.
A step back.
Emotionally, physically,
did
mentally.
Your artwork reflect that?
Good question.
There was
a,
yeah,
I'm sure there's
probably.
A piece that did. We have to look. I have to look at your pieces and see during that time period.
Yeah.
So somehow, all right, then, and just I hate doing it in the interest of time, but somehow you go for, we're doing fine with time, but I know that the story continues because somehow you come back or get more involved in the art and the art community scene because of where I'm sitting right now.
Right, and so am I.
So, okay, so you go underground for a while, make a lot of money, help people with their electrical needs.
Yeah, and I never left the art world or the art interests or all of that stuff, but I sure took a hiatus from being involved at the Art Center. And 20 years ago, in 2004, my friend Ruffin Slater, who was the general manager of Weaver Street Market, and I were walking in Mexico because he was always interested in finding a new place to live. And so we're walking on the beach in Mexico and we see a pirate flag flying over a radio antenna. And we said, hey, what is this? Let's go.
So cool.
Check it out. And so we check it out, and yes, it's a pirate radio station, and this guy is transmitting from his
soundboard.
It looks just like the studio it looked like. and we, Ruffin and I came back so enthusiastic about this, and we said, we need this because this is a new voice that we can have in the community in Carrboro. We need to have it. So we came back and we studied the situation, and we saw that the bank at the corner of North Greensboro Street and Weaver Street was abandoned, and that the drive-in window was available, and so we raised some money. We just got a grant. We got one grant, and there was a window from the FCC to have a low power radio station, and they had a $50,000 grant available. So we took the money. We had to borrow a nonprofit organization.
Yes,
to do that, and that's the Public Gallery of Carrboro.
You had to borrow it. So the Public Gallery of Carrboro already existed?
Already existed.
Okay.
It was formed
By
a group, an architect and some other people who were interested in creating art in public space on Weaver Street mostly and in Carrboro.
Okay.
And that was their drive, and so they had formed this nonprofit organization to do that. And so they weren't involved with doing that anymore. It was a kind of a one-shot deal.
But the nonprofit still existed.
Existed,
and, so it could
and,
be
they,
the
and they handed over
financial.
To,
and they handed over to you.
Yeah.
To us, and we used it to acquire the FCC license for WCOM and to obtain the grant that we needed to build the antenna and so forth. It was complicated, really, because you cannot broadcast from the place of your studio. You can only broadcast from a certain little cheese wedge in the landscape.
Yeah, I heard that once. Like, our antenna isn't here. It's not
right.
in this building. It's
the antenna is in Southern Village. In the
That's right. I heard that, which is near where I live. And listeners,
we'll get Heather to go up on it next.
You can probably get real good transmission, Heather.
I know. Wow. I do hear better when I'm closer to my house. And I'll tell you, and we had an interesting DJ, which is so funny that we're DJs, interesting meeting, a quick side thing, about the term LP. Because they're like, well, people know what it means. I'm like, I didn't know what it means. No. So listeners, if you're ever wondering, WCOM LP, FM LP, LP stands for, there, Jacques, I'll turn it over. And you said it real quickly.
Low power.
As opposed to
100 watts is all we have. The power of an old timey light bulb.
Oh.
100 watts as opposed to 50,000 watts that regular radio stations
have. Yeah,
so
your typical commercial radio station. Now, it's funny, they don't have to say HP or high power. It's just, but, you know, when we talk sometimes, like, oh, that's why we say WCOM LP. FM, or do say WCOM FP, FMLP. Anyway, but the LP is in there, and I'm like, nobody knows what the LP is because I didn't know
wattage.
It.
I didn't
low
know that.
Low power. Yes. Okay. So you get the permission, and you start the radio station. So this is good. So then
we build the tower. I. It comes.
Did you have to physically? Because now you're an electrician. Did you physically build the tower?
Yeah. It
nothing
comes
surprises
in,
me now. 45 minutes into this discussion, of course you build it.
It comes in a kit, and then we had to climb the tower at Scruggs Elementary School, and so Chris Carter and I climbed that tower. It was very interesting because Chris it's a whole other story, but he's an excellent
person.
For
our next show, that'll be great. We'll dive into that.
But so now we have a transmitting tower. We got an old cabinet from the DOT, Department of Transportation, one of those stainless steel cabinets that you see on the street corners, and we put it at the bottom of the tower in Southern Village, and we climbed up there and we put the antenna. And then we came to Carborough and we had that kit tower that we put the transmitting link, the studio transmitting link, an STL, to sending signals to Scruggs Elementary, and that's how we started out of the drive-in window
of the bank. I was wondering what the drive-in window.
It was cool because people could walk up to the drive-in
and see
window and talk to us, and
kind of like they can do now, but they can't come through the window.
That's right. And the exciting thing is the new studio will be also right on the street. It'll be fantastic.
I know. We're going to get into the new studio second. What
is that where you got the the icon?
Our logo.
Yes.
Is that the brand?
Listeners, yes. Alicia right now is pointing to
that
our
was
cool
the original station.
The tower logo of the WCOM. Like go on to our WCOMFM.org and you'll see the logo that Alicia's referring to. And that's the
that's
tower.
That's the tower. And the electric. Look at the electric.
And then how did you decide? Like, were you on the air? How did you decide what programs?
Yes.
You're the OG, the original.
I started transmitting in a little program of French music, and I spoke in French and all of that stuff.
You had bonjour, a little.
Oh my goodness! Can we bring that back?
It had a little following.
Yeah.
But
we don't care what you say. Just talk.
Also, people would love it now from an ASMR. Like just talk.
Just talk. We don't care what you say.
Also, our good friend Rocco came on.
Rocco.
Rocco, if you're listening,
Rocco.
We love you. He does the.
Oh my goodness.
Oh gosh. It's not
Rocco,
big band.
You're making me smile.
Is it big band? No.
It's the music hall.
The music hall. So there you can see why I'm a music hall from what, 9 to 12 on Saturdays.
Yes.
We love you, Rocco.
Yes, Rocco.
All right, so you met Rocco.
And we also met Bob Bertman, who now runs the WHUP in Hillsboro.
Yeah.
And that's why I've not met him yet. Okay.
Bob had a great background as a DJ because he was a DJ at XYC UNC. And he was Triangle Slim. And he did.
Wait till I see him. Triangle Slim. I didn't know that.
And he had such good programming. But he also. He had his own idea about what we should do, and we never agreed. But we are good friends still.
Yeah, he's
and
good.
We cooperate. And in fact, we carry his news program from the WHUP here at noontime every day. And he has his own news program at HUP.
So, all right. And I know we have less than 10 minutes, so we're gonna dive into this more. So you start bringing some of our friends together. Clearly, now you're getting into our generation, right? In the sense of our generation of us being on the show, Alicia and I. So we know these people. I didn't mean our age generation. I mean our time at the station. So the station, at some point, goes from the bank to somewhere else to here, right? I've seen the history. It's
It goes to a little building that was next to the Cat's Cradle. Here was the oil, an oil company, Christian Oil Company, and they had an empty cinder block building, and we used that temporarily because the bank building got sold to CVS and what have you. Different things happened.
And then now it's it's a big just empty area. So. And then, so you move over to this complex where we are now.
Yeah, that was 12 years ago. looking for a new space, and this used to be the gallery.
I remember that,
for the art center, and so we struck a deal and we moved in here, rewired the place for the third time, and
good thing we have an electrician on our you know, board here, the people running it. So and then how did the discussion happen? Because now we're going to get into present day. I know we went really quick into past, present, and future. But we're moving soon.
Future.
Jacques, what's happening with WCOM?
Well, it's very cold in here.
I was going to say, very cold in here.
And the furnace broke last year.
I remember.
And I tried to fix that so much. But it's not fixable. It costs thousands and thousands of dollars, and the landlords are not interested in that. And in the meantime, the art center moves out. And they in a wonderful, interesting building that belongs to the same Yagi family from the...
Oh, interesting. Because it's funny, we still have the big words on this building that says the art center. Right. So when I tell guests, I'm like, you're coming to the old art center building, because now there's the new art center building. So they, and that just opened within the past year. So what, and now the what is it called, the Center Theater is here. Am I using the right
isn't that an interesting
and they're so kind and wonderful. So then at some point discussions happen about cuddling up in another space.
But mostly because we outgrew this. It's been 20 years in there, and also because of the opportunity that they were going to build a new library building in downtown Carver, and it was going to be wonderful, and the town wanted us in, and we wanted to be in with the town and all the other organizations.
And it's, I was calling it the Carver Library Building, but it's got a name. Someone,
it's called Drakeford.
Drakeford?
Drakeford.
Okay,
from,
I'm not sure if
named
I
after
that.
Robert Drakeford, who was one of the first black mayors in Carver.
Oh, great.
And a very big supporter of the arts.
Okay.
And he helped me tremendously at the time with funding from the town of Carborough.
Okay.
For the art center. And so they, it's interesting because Braxton Fushi has his own street now.
I know, right? Leading up to the building.
Yeah, that, they just
the former Carr Street is now Braxton Fushi Boulevard or Road?
Yeah, street. And
literally and figuratively, it's all coming together.
Yeah. By the way, Braxton's wife is coming to the benefit.
Oh, on Sunday.
To drop in on us because she loves that.
January 12th, January 12th, this Sunday, since we're at 2 o'clock at the Cat's Cradle back room. So when are we in our few minutes left? We're moving soon. I'm just waiting to be told one day when to head over.
We're waiting for the certificates of occupancy, which are hopefully happening this week, and they will probably let us in soon after that, around the 15th or something. But as you might suspect.
15th of February?
15th of March. January.
Okay. Again, I'm just going to show up one day and you'll tell me where to go. Finish what you're going to say and then we're going to have a last question.
It takes time to wire a studio.
Right.
And to...
yes, that's why I'm like,
And we raised a bunch of money, but we didn't raise quite enough money to replace everything, which we were aiming to do.
And if the county is listening, can they get us some grants? And if they're listening to it, can we get some grants from the county?
The town and the county, please.
The
we're cold and
even,
we need new
state,
equipment
money.
At the new place.
Money.
So yes, in our last, here's your job. In the last 3 minutes, Jacques, and we're going to have you back because this has been the most fascinating show and there's so many stories, but I want to invite listeners to get involved. And one of the things...
And donate money.
Well, that too. We're going to get into that. One of the things we're going to get into in a whole other show is the volunteer community nature of WCOM and the eclectic range of shows and how people can get involved. And so... in terms of coming and being a part of the new studio, in terms of donating and being a part of the station and shows. So there you go. Say, even though I just said all that, there's a segue for the push in the last, our 2 minute push.
Yeah. I'm very excited about the new studio, not only because it's going to be beautiful and you all going to love it, but because We'll have great neighbors. Mm-hmm. The library and the Parks and Rec and Culture Department. And nice. There'll be a teen center, and there'll be all kinds of things. And we're going to be so much more on the streets, public and available for anybody to walk in. And so we're going to improve our programming. We're improving our signal all the time. We're going to improve our equipment and our organization and all of that stuff. It's a great opportunity to tweak everything positively. And of course, we're going to need support. But I think it's going to be more obvious that we are essential for the community, that we're the real voice of the people here. And there will be support, I predict. And I'm very excited to talk about the future and other things, but we'll leave that for some other time.
I am telling you, we're gonna continue on, and I do want to, and I'll let you have another last word. I am very excited for folks, and I think our show, Aging Well Together, and being that private public partnership here, we're connecting with the nonprofit, the WCOM station, but we are sponsored by our county government, the Orange County Department on Aging. And so I'm excited for folks to be able to learn more about county resources, whether they are from the private space or the public space. But for those people that want to say, hey, we understand you have a new space and you need new equipment, how do they get involved if they would like to make a donation or they would like to get involved? Should I send them to the website?
Yes, WCOMFM.org. If you go there, you'll find a button that says donate, and they'll have many ways to donate. There's also a list of things, stuff, equipment.
That's
that
right. There's
we need.
An Amazon wish list.
Oh, yeah. My God.
And we've been receiving
it. There's an Amazon wish list.
Oh, have you seen it? Oh, I love it. I've had fun looking at it, deciding what. Yeah. So,
well, that's
so,
good.
So, listeners, feel free to reach out on WCOMFM.org, and you can request a copy of that Amazon. So, if it's more fun to buy like a chair and equipment as opposed to a check, you have multiple ways to do it. All right, Jacques. Your final words for this episode, and then we're going to have you back.
Well, I'm sorry that I talked so much about myself.
No, that's what we wanted. I told you
people
I wanted that.
Needed to know the in-depth part. You didn't just pop up. This was, it was like, you didn't just...
Oh, we wanted this, and I already told you, you're a part of now the Aging Well Together group, which is so many people come, and then they come back a second time, because there's so much more to get into, but...
I want to tell you that I'm a caregiver myself, and that my mom is 100 years old, and she's still kicking. And
you take her dinner every night.
Yeah, and aging is so important to do it well.
To do it well.
Okay, well, that is a cliffhanger of our show.
And
we will be
opening
continue.
For mine.
We have an opening show in March now, or April, and hopefully from our new show, our new station. But really, Jacques Menache, thank you so much. Literally, we would not be here. I would not be sitting here. Alicia would not be sitting next to me if it wasn't for you. And
thank you, Jacques.
So much gratitude.
Can we bring that French show back now?
I know. We're going to have cigars and coffee and baguettes or something for our next time we're together. But I need to get off the air, Alicia, so you can come on in a few minutes. Really, so much gratitude to you. So much gratitude to our fantastic sponsors at Orange County Department on Aging. So much gratitude to our other family members here with the WCOM LPFM 103.5 family. And most importantly, listeners, to you, thank you so much for joining us. And come back next week for more on Aging Well Together.